In its simplest terms, you are defined as lucky when you enjoy higher levels of success and happiness faster and easier than other people. As we said before, successful people always ascribe their achievements to their own personal characteristics, and especially to their willingness to work hard, hard, hard. Failures always ascribe their lack of success to bad luck and blame it on other people and circumstances. The ultimate luck factor is your ability to get results for which people are willing to pay you, promote you, advance you, open doors for you, and move you up into the top levels of your profession. The law of results is a key part of luck, and in many cases the most important part. It says that your rewards will always be equal to the quality, quantity, and timeliness of the results that you accomplish for other people. Everyone is selfish in that everyone is continually tuned in to their favorite radio station, WIIFM. These call letters stand for the question, "What's in it for me?" This is what everyone wants to know. We evaluate other people in terms of their ability to help us to get the things we want, financially, emotionally, intellectually, politically, and so on. The people who are most competent and capable of helping us to get the things we want faster and easier are the ones who we reward the most and the soonest. The law of contribution flows directly from the law of results. It says that your financial rewards in life will always be in direct proportion to the value of the contribution that you make, as that value is determined by other people. In a market economy, the customer determines all prices, including the levels of wages, salaries, and commissions, by the things that they are willing to buy and the quantity in which they are willing to purchase them. Companies do not set wages or salaries, except indirectly. They merely pass on the judgments of the marketplace. Companies organize the efforts of others and combine them together to produce products and services for which people are willing to pay in sufficient quantity to generate a profit that enables the company to continue to survive and grow. You can always increase the quality and quantity of your financial rewards by increasing the quality and quantity of the contribution that you make to others. And in the long term, there is no other way for you to do it. One of the reasons that many people are suffering job insecurity and declining levels of income today is because the world has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. Today, the most valuable single component of any product or service is the amount of knowledge and skill that goes into it. If a person has not committed himself or herself to continually learning, growing, and developing their skills to a high level, their ability to make a valuable contribution will gradually decline over time, like the water level will decline in a leaky bucket. They will become worth less and less, and they will eventually suffer terminations, layoffs, downsizing, extended periods of unemployment, and tremendous insecurity. The way to enjoy job security and high rewards is always to dedicate yourself to improving and increasing the results that you can get for others and the contribution that you can make to their lives and work. By the law of correspondence, your living standards will be a mirror image reflection of your ability to contribute this kind of value to your world. One of the fastest ways for you to create more opportunities and to come to the attention of the important people in your world is for you to become an intensely result-oriented person. In study after study, result orientation is a key quality of the highest paid and most respected people in every field and in every society. Good work habits go hand in hand with what people continually refer to as luck. A person who works efficiently and well and gets a lot of high-value work done on or before schedule seems to get a lot of lucky breaks or opportunities to do more higher-valued work. According to Harvard University, the most valuable asset that a company has or can develop is its reputation. Its reputation is defined as how it is known to its customers. The reputation of a company is contained in the way its customers and other people in the marketplace talk about and describe that company to others. An excellent reputation adds premiums to the prices of the company's products or services. Sony Corporation, for example, has one of the finest reputations in the world for technological innovation. The Sony name on a product can increase the cost and the perceived value of that product by 20 or 30%, even though it is essentially identical to another product on the same shelf carrying a lesser-known name with a lesser reputation. By the same virtue, the most valuable asset you have is your reputation, especially the way you are perceived by the people you work with and for and by your customers. Everything you do to improve the quality of your reputation improves the perceived value of your contribution. If a person is known as someone who does an outstanding job, customers line up to purchase that person's services. If you went to the doctor, and the doctor, after completing an examination, told you that you were going to have a serious operation, what would be your first question? Your first question would probably be, who is the very best doctor to perform this kind of surgery? Many salespeople and even business executives think that customers in the marketplace are totally preoccupied with price. But price is always relative. If you needed a serious operation for yourself or for a member of your family, you'd never ask, who is the cheapest doctor I can get for this operation? Price would not even be a factor if the quality of the product or service were important enough. When you develop a reputation for being one of the very best people in your field, you will be paid far more than the average person, and you will find yourself continually in demand. You'll quickly learn that what other people want more than anything else is quality of results rather than merely low price. In every single organization today, everyone knows who works the hardest. Everyone knows who works the second hardest and the third hardest and so on. In fact, if you were to hire an outside firm of efficiency experts to interview everyone in your company and to ask them to rate all your fellow employees from the person they think works the hardest to the person they think works the least, and all those survey forms could be gathered up and condensed into one report, you would find that virtually everyone in the company knows and agrees on who works the very most and the very least, and everyone in between. People who rise to positions of importance in any field are invariably the hardest working, most dedicated, and most committed people in that field. They are therefore highly sensitive to other people who are like them. Remember, birds of a feather do flock together. There's no faster way for you to attract the attention and support of people who can help you than for you to develop a reputation within your organization as being one of, if not the, hardest single worker at whatever you are given to do. The great tragedy in the workforce today is that most people are lazy. As a result of the incredible affluence that America experienced after World War II, during the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, an entire generation of people is growing up with the idea that they can do a half job and get a full salary. Because of our educational system, they were able to coast through from the first grade to the 12th grade and even through university without working very hard to get a diploma or a degree. When they enter the world of work, they simply continue on doing or not doing what they've been doing for years. According to Robert Half and Associates, the average person works less than 50% of the time for which they are paid. Even managers interviewed privately have admitted that they spend fully 50% of their time at work doing things that have absolutely nothing to do with the job or with the company. Of course, this 50% average means that half are above and half are below. Many people actually waste far more than 50% of their time. The primary area of time wastage is in idle socializing at work. According to the research, fully 37% of every workday is spent in idle conversation with coworkers. The other 13%, on average, is spent on coming in a little later and leaving a little earlier. It's consumed with longer coffee breaks and longer lunch breaks. It's eaten up by personal business and personal phone calls. The average person in America doesn't really get into gear at work until about 11 a.m. Up to that time, they are drinking coffee, reading the newspapers, checking the mail, talking with coworkers, and making a few phone calls. The average employee in America begins shutting down at about 3:30 in the afternoon, even if their working hours are until 5 or 5:30 p.m. Some companies have a sign in their staff rooms that read, "In case of fire, do not panic. Merely leave the building at the same speed that you normally leave at 5 p.m. every day." I was doing a television interview recently, and when I arrived at the station, I was taken through the offices and the control room. Of the 12 people that I saw, only two were working. All the others were either chatting about their family, friends, or football games, reading the newspaper, drinking coffee, or looking out the window. And this was in a competitive private sector business. Think about what the work standards must be like in large bureaucracies or government organizations. What is even worse is when people are not wasting 50% of their time at work, they are usually working on low-priority tasks and working inefficiently as well. They get very little done. The work mounts up and they shuffle it around. When they get under pressure, they rush it to completion and hand it in poorly done. It's estimated that as much as 25% of the costs of any business are eaten up by reworking and redoing products or services that have been produced or performed improperly. Here's a question. Do you have a reputation in your company for being one of the hardest and most efficient workers in the organization? Do people look up to you and respect you as one of the highest performers in the organization? Are you continually being given more and bigger assignments, more important responsibilities, and more opportunities for promotion than anyone else? And if the answer is no, isn't it time for you to make a decision to get serious about your future? Remember, this life is not a rehearsal for something else. Your job is to be a star in your field. Your job is to join the top 10% of high performers. Your job is to develop a reputation as one of the very best people in your business. And the key is to work all the time you work. Make a decision right now that when you go to work, you will work all the time you work. You will not waste time socializing or reading newspapers. You won't dawdle over coffee breaks or lunches. You won't waste company time on personal telephone calls, shopping, picking up your laundry, dropping off your dry cleaning, or checking out the latest sale. Instead, you work all the time you work. When people try to interfere with your new work ethic by asking you if you have a moment to talk, you simply tell them, yes, but not now. You encourage them to talk to you before or after working hours, or at lunch. But meantime, you say, right now, I have to get back to work. Keep repeating to yourself like a positive affirmation that you drive deeper and deeper into your subconscious mind those powerful words, back to work, back to work, back to work. By the way, this won't be easy at first. When you stop wasting time along with your coworkers, they will do everything possible to pull you back down to their own level of low productivity. They will feel threatened by your new commitment to earning your pay and getting a lot done in the hours that you've allocated for the job. In unionized organizations, it is so bad that highly productive workers are actually punished and even fired because they make the others look bad. Nonetheless, you must persist. When you develop a reputation for working all the time you work, you will not only get more done and be on top of your work, but you will start to get the lucky breaks that enable you to move ahead more rapidly in your career. Once you've decided to become the hardest and best worker in your organization, you will find that it is not difficult for you to double and even triple your output. By using a series of proven and tested methods and techniques, you can so dramatically increase your results and your contribution that you will amaze the people around you. When you begin using these techniques, which are practiced by the highest performing and highest paid people in every organization, you will get more done easier and have more relaxed free time than you can believe possible right now. There are some key principles with regard to time that you must know. First of all, time is inelastic. It cannot be stretched. It is fixed and it goes by with an absolute unstoppable regularity. This is a fact of nature to which you must conform because it cannot be changed. Time is limited. You can't get any more of it. The fact is that you have all the time there is, 24 fresh hours every single day, and the entire quality of your life will be determined by how you spend your time. Here's an important point. You can tell what your true values and beliefs are, and especially how valuable you consider any part of your life to be, by the amount of your time that you are willing to invest in it. You start your life with very little money and lots of time. If you're smart, you will end your life with far less time, but enough money to be financially independent and comfortable. Throughout your life, you are engaged in a series of trading activities. You trade time for results and rewards and satisfactions. At any given time of your life, you can look at where you are today and measure how good a trader you have been in the months and years past. A person who is worth a lot of money at the age of 30 or 40 is a person who has been an excellent trader in financial terms. He has traded his time for learning. He has traded his time for acquired skills. He has traded his time for setting goals and organizing his life. He has traded his time for personal and professional development. And as a result, he can now trade his time for very high rewards in the marketplace. And this must be your goal as well. Another key point about time is that time cannot be saved. It can only be spent. You can only reallocate time away from low-value activities and toward high-value activities. In its simplest terms, people are successful because they spend more of their time doing things of high value that move them toward their goals faster than others. People fail because they spend too much of their time doing things of low value or no value that either move them toward their goals slowly or, even worse, move them away from their goals. And you are always free to choose. At every moment, you can decide to commit your time to high-value activities or to low-value activities. And the accumulation and sum total of your choices will add up to the totality of the quality of your life. It's always up to you. The law of applied effort is a key luck factor. It says that any goal, task, or activity is amenable to the sustained effort of hard work. There is very little that you cannot accomplish in life if you are willing to work at it long enough and hard enough, and to persist in the face of all obstacles and difficulties until you win through. Hard work is and always has been the key to great success. However, there is one reservation, and that is today you are a knowledge worker. A knowledge worker has two primary characteristics. First, a knowledge worker is more concerned initially with determining what is to be done rather than how or when it is to be done. And second, a knowledge worker is measured not on the basis of activities, as a blue-collar worker or factory worker, but on the basis of results, measurable outcomes that people can count and use and sell in the marketplace. The most important thing you do is to accurately identify in advance exactly what is to be done and in what order of importance. You must then have the self-discipline necessary to force yourself to do the things you should do, when you should do them, whether you feel like it or not. This is the most important single human quality you can develop, and is the essence of character and great achievement. As you know, success in all its aspects, including luck, has been studied for at least 2,500 years throughout all of human history. In this century, more and better research on the characteristics of successful people has been conducted than in all of the rest of history put together. One of the most important discoveries of all is that success is largely attitudinal. And the critical attitude for success and for living a so-called lucky life is your attitude toward time. People with long time perspective are invariably more successful than people with only a short-term outlook. You develop long-time perspective by planning your life 10 and 20 years out into the future. You then trace back to the present day and plan your goals, priorities, and activities in terms of where you want to be in 3, 5, 10, and even 20 years from now. Less than 3% of Americans have long-time perspective. And over time, they end up at the top of most organizations, and they control most of the money and assets in our country. For example, by saving $200 a month from the age of 20 to the age of 65 and putting it away into solid mutual funds invested in the American stock market, you will be a millionaire when you retire. If it's as simple as that, why is it that everyone doesn't save throughout their working lifetimes and become a millionaire? And the answer is lack of time perspective. The key to long-time perspective is contained in the word sacrifice. Delayed gratification has always been the key to economic success. The willingness to engage in short-term sacrifices in order to enjoy long-term security and prosperity is the key to luck and great achievement. The unwillingness to delay gratification, the inability to restrain yourself from spending everything you make and a little bit more besides is the surest recipe for failure ever found. And as I've explained earlier, the very act of saving money changes your character. It develops your self-discipline. It makes you more controlled and confident. It gives you a greater sense of self-mastery, and it enables you to force yourself to continually engage in short-term pain for long-term gain. Along with long-time perspective, you need short-time perspective as well. You need a long-term vision for your life contained in your goals and plans, and you need a short-term focus for your activities which are meant to achieve those goals. In all my years of research, if I were asked to summarize success in two words, I would pick focus and concentration. Once you've set your long-term goals, the ability to focus on your highest priorities and to concentrate single-mindedly on them until they are complete will determine your levels of success more than any other single factor. You could be the most brilliant person in your field. You can be extraordinarily good-looking, well-educated, highly personable, and surrounded by all kinds of opportunities. But if you cannot focus and concentrate, these attributes will do you very little good. You will be easily outstripped by an average person who's developed the discipline to force himself to focus and concentrate on accomplishing high priorities every minute of the working day. Your ability to set clear priorities lies at the heart of personal and life management. All failure comes from misplaced and misdirected priorities. All success comes from the ability to select priorities intelligently and then to stay with those priorities until the most vital tasks are accomplished. The power of the sun is warm and gentle until it is concentrated through a magnifying glass on a single spot. Then it can burn intensely and cause great fires. A small light bulb may yield a little bit of light, perhaps not even enough to read by. But when that light is concentrated through a laser beam, it can cut through steel. It's the same with setting priorities and then focusing and concentrating on them consistently and persistently until concentration becomes as natural to you as breathing in and breathing out. There are several steps to setting clear priorities and getting a lot more done in your life than the people around you. And the first of these is the making of lists of activities and tasks before you begin. The very act of working from a list will increase your productivity by 25% the very first time you try it. All top time managers and all highly productive people use lists. Just as a person would not think of going to the grocery store without a list of what they wanted to pick up, you should never embark on your day without a very clear list or roadmap of the activities you wish to accomplish. There are several kinds of lists. A master list, which should lie at the core of your time management program, is a list of everything that you can think of that you want to do in the foreseeable future. As something comes up, you jot it down onto your master list so that you won't forget it. This list can actually have hundreds of items, some of which are for 2 and 3 and 5 years out. Your second list is your monthly list, which consists of the key things that you have to do in order to be successful at your work, plus items from your master list that you want to get done within the next 30 days. Your weekly list is a more refined version of your monthly list, consisting of the things you want to do this week. And your daily list is a complete blueprint of your day from morning to night. You always start your day, your week, and your month with a list. Make lists for everything. Think on paper. All the most productive people constantly think with a pen in their hand. Plan every day in advance. Organize your plan as though it was the most important day of your life and every minute was precious to you. Don't make the mistake of starting with whatever task happens to be the most pleasant or the most convenient. Think before you act and then act efficiently and well. The formula for evaluating and investing in a company or stock is contained in the letters ROI. These stand for Return on Investment. Your formula for effectiveness in your life is contained in the letters ROTI. These letters stand for Return on Time Invested. Everything you achieve in life is going to be a reflection of whether or not you are getting a high return for the amount of your life that you are investing in your activities or not. Your job is to get the highest return possible on everything you do. Once you've written out a list for the day, preferably the night before, so that your subconscious mind can work on some of your tasks while you sleep, you need to set priorities on the list. You need to decide on what you're going to do first, on what you're going to do second, on what you're going to do not at all. You need to determine the logical and orderly sequence of events that will enable you to get the highest payoff from your time invested. A simple time management technique is the continued use of the 80-20 rule. This rule simply says that 80% of the value of any list of activities will be contained in 20% of the items on that list. Sometimes 90% of the value of your entire list of activities can be contained in only 10% or in only one item on that list. Never give in to the temptation to clear up small things first. Once you have set an order of priority and you have identified the 20% of items that can count for the very highest results, you start at the top rather than at the middle or at the bottom. The reason you don't start with small items is because they tend to multiply on you. If you start with small items, at the end of the day, you'll find yourself still working on small items, and your big tasks and responsibilities will still be waiting for your attention. Remember, it is the potential consequences of any action that determines the potential value of that action. Anything that can have high-level consequences for your life or your work is a high priority. Something that has low-level consequences or no consequences is always a low priority. For instance, continually reading, learning, and upgrading your skills is a high priority. The long-term consequences on your life and career can be extraordinary. These may not be urgent activities, but they are vitally important, and they need to be incorporated into your life on a regular basis. On the other hand, taking a coffee break or going for lunch has no consequences at all. You could take coffee breaks and go for lunch for 40 years and become absolutely outstanding at your choice of coffee and your choice of luncheon menu, but it would have absolutely no impact whatsoever on what you accomplish with your life. Always think in terms of consequences before you begin. What are the likely consequences of doing or not doing something? This is where the ABCDE method can be extremely helpful. An A task is something that you must do. There are serious consequences for doing it or not doing it. It is important to your life and your career. People are depending on you and expecting you to perform in it. It is a top priority. Mark an A next to all the top priority items on your list that absolutely must be done, done well, and done soon. A B task is something that should be done. There are mild consequences for doing it or not doing it. People may be unhappy or inconvenienced. But it is not as important as an A item on your list. The rule is that you should never do a B task when there is an A task left undone. A C task is something that would be nice to do. Like a coffee break or lunch, it would be nice to have them. But there are absolutely no consequences, positive or negative, for your future. Socializing with your coworkers, reading the newspaper, or calling home on personal business are nice things to do, but they have virtually no consequences beyond the current moment. A D item on your list is something that you delegate, and the rule is that you must delegate everything you possibly can of lower order priorities so that you have more time to do the few things that only you can do that really make a difference in your life. Every time you have someone else type a letter, make a phone call, file a contract, or perform a clerical task, you are delegating. Every time you pick up dinner on the way home rather than cooking it, you are delegating the preparation of the dinner and saving yourself 1 or 2 hours in preparation and cleanup. The smartest and most productive people in our society are those who are absolutely expert at delegating everything conceivable so that they can have more time to do those 1 or 2 things for which they are the highest rewarded. The E in the ABCDE formula stands for eliminate. One of the greatest time savers of all is for you to completely eliminate something that you've been doing in the past that is no longer as valuable or as important as something else that you have to do in the present. Setting priorities means setting posteriorities as well. The fact is that your schedule is already full. If you're like most people, you have more than 100% of your time already spoken for. In order for you to have time to do new things, you must stop doing old things. Getting in means getting out. Starting up means stopping off. Setting posterioritys, or things that you are going to discontinue, either partially or altogether, is one of the fastest ways to free up your schedule for your highest priority tasks. What are your posteriorities? What sort of activities are you engaging in that you've inherited over the months and years and that are no longer as valuable and as important to you as other things that you have to do right now? Your ability to ask and answer this question is a key determinant of your effectiveness as a person in your work and personal life. There are 5 key questions for getting greater results and for leveraging your ability to produce more than anyone else around you. You must ask and answer and act upon these 5 questions every minute and every hour of every day. The first question is, what are my highest value activities? What are the things that you do that contribute the most value to your company, your life, your work, and your rewards? If you're not sure about the answer to this question, give it some thought. Talk it over with your boss and your coworkers. Discuss it with your spouse. You must be crystal clear about your highest value activities. You can't hit a target that you can't see. You cannot move ahead rapidly in your career if you do not know what the key tasks are that you must do in order to be successful and to be promoted. The second question for setting priorities is similar to the first. What are your key result areas? What are the specific results or outcomes that you've been hired to accomplish in your job? Of all the things you do, what are the measurable, specific items for which you are completely responsible and upon which your success and your career depends? What are your key result areas? Whatever they are, you must clearly identify them and concentrate on doing them in an excellent fashion every day, all day long. The third question for setting priorities is simple. It is, why are you on the payroll? Why do they give you money for what you do? If you were trying to explain or justify the money you receive, how would you describe the contribution that you put in exchange for the money that you take out? The focus on contribution, on results, on why you are on the payroll, sharpens your ability to select those 1 or 2 items that are most important to you and to your company. The fourth question, and one of my favorites, is, what can you and only you do that, if done well, will make a real difference? Remember, you are a knowledge worker. You work with your brain, not muscle power, but mind power. And there's always one thing that only you can do that can make a real difference. If you don't do it, it won't get done. But if you do it, and you do it well, and you do it in a timely fashion, it can make a significant contribution to your work or to your personal life. You must constantly be asking yourself, what is it that you and only you can do that, if done well, will make a real difference? And here is where you must focus and concentrate more than in any other place if you want to be lucky. The final question, the granddaddy question in setting priorities, is, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Your ability to ask and answer this question and then to apply yourself to doing only that is the key to high levels of efficiency and effectiveness and the true measure of self-discipline and character. Every single day you should be applying the law of zero-based thinking to your life and to your activities. This law requires that you continually ask yourself, is there anything that I am doing today that, knowing what I now know, I wouldn't get into if I had to do it over again? In my years of experience, I have found that every single person is doing 1 or more things that, knowing what they now know, they wouldn't even start up again if they had to do them over. And it's impossible to organize your time in your life if you are preoccupied with doing things that you wouldn't even do if you had a chance to get out of them. One of the fastest ways for you to get your time organized and increase your efficiency is for you to stop doing things that you wouldn't do if you had the choice. So keep asking yourself, is there anything in my life that I wouldn't get into if I had to do it over again, knowing what I now know? Look at your job or career. Is this the right one for you? If it isn't, what kind of decisions do you have to make? Look at your marriage or your relationships with others. Would you get into these relationships again if you had them to do over? Staying in a bad relationship after you've already decided that you are unhappy is one of the greatest of all wastes of time and life. Look at your investments and your commitments of time and money. Is there anything that is taking up a good deal of your mental, emotional, or financial resources that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into? And when you identify the things that you wouldn't start up again, your next question is, how do I get out of this situation and how fast? We have never been in a situation where we know more about how to achieve higher levels of success, happiness, and financial prosperity than we know today. I've touched on the ultimate luck factor, your ability to get results rapidly for which people will pay you and promote you. And the better and better you get at making a greater and greater contribution to the lives and work of other people, the more opportunities and possibilities will open up for you. You will move ahead more rapidly than the other people in your field. You will soon rise to the top of your industry with all the rewards, the recognition, and the prestige that that entails. And everyone will call you lucky. Action orientation is a hallmark of all highly successful people. The law of probabilities is what makes luck predictable and is the most critical factor of all. As you know, the law of probabilities simply says that the more different things you try, the more likely it is that you will try the right thing at the right time and in the right way. The more likely it is that you will experience what others call luck. The more you try, the more you triumph. Action orientation is based on organizing your life so that you get more done faster in a shorter period of time. It's based on the key luck factor of alertness. The more alert you are, the more likely it is that you will be aware of opportunities and situations that you can turn to your advantage. Many people's lives have been changed as a result of spotting a small advertisement or story in a book or magazine that gave them an idea which they acted on before anyone else, and it changed their whole life. Peter Thomas, a high-energy, action-oriented entrepreneur from Canada, was sitting on the beach in Hawaii at Christmas time one year reading the Wall Street Journal. He came across an advertisement seeking real estate franchisees for a new company that was starting up in Newport Beach, California. He knew a good deal about real estate, and he saw the possibility of importing this concept to Canada before anyone else. He got up from the beach, went back to the hotel, packed, caught a plane for Los Angeles, and took a taxi to the offices of Century 21. The executives of Century 21 had given very little thought to Canada. Peter Thomas was able to purchase the exclusive rights to Canada for the Century 21 real estate franchise concept. Before the dust had settled some years later, there were Century 21 offices from coast to coast in Canada, and Peter Thomas was a multimillionaire living in a penthouse suite with his yacht in the harbor below. Now, thousands of people saw the same ad, and thousands of people turned the page without noticing it or paying attention to it. But one man, because of his alertness, quickness, and action orientation, was able to take advantage of it and create a fortune. If this story seems like a fluke that could never happen to you, you're wrong. Thousands of opportunities like that are cropping up all around you every single day. But if you are not alert to and aware of these kinds of opportunities and possibilities, they will simply pass you by. Some years ago, a young man decided he wanted to start his own business. He attended a seminar on entrepreneurship. At the seminar, he learned that 95% of all products manufactured in any country are never exported. He also learned that there are thousands of new, creative, innovative products being invented and marketed throughout Europe and the Far East every single year that nobody in America ever hears about or sees. He sent away for a catalog of European manufacturers who were looking for agents for their products in America. He knew a little bit about gardening, and he came across a description of a new, high-quality, lightweight, and inexpensive wheelbarrow with a remarkably innovative design. He was convinced that there would be a market for this wheelbarrow in the United States. He immediately wrote to the company and asked them to send him a sample. They sent him a sample, which he took to a major national gardening trade show a month later. He couldn't afford his own booth, so he arranged to share a little bit of booth space with another manufacturer of garden equipment. Buyers for three major department store chains came by, saw the wheelbarrow, recognized the market potentialities of the wheelbarrow, and placed orders with him for 64,000 units at the one trade show. By the time he had filled the orders, he was a millionaire. The entire process took less than a year from the time he set a goal and made a decision, acted on his decision, and sold the 64,000 wheelbarrows, making a profit of almost $20 each. Now, I've worked with millionaires and multimillionaires and even people worth hundreds of millions of dollars who have limited education and limited business experience. But one thing they have all had in common is the psychological disposition to move quickly when opportunities or problems present themselves. And of course, the more you study your field and learn your skills, the more knowledgeable and aware you will be, and the easier it will be for you to identify and recognize opportunities and possibilities when they appear. Here's one of the most important luck factors of all. It is called the momentum strategy of success. It says that a person in motion tends to remain in motion, and it takes much less energy to keep moving than to stop and try to get into motion again. In its simplest terms, this means that once you get started, it's easier for you to keep going than it is for you to stop and then start up again. You've probably had the experience of going away on vacation and coming back after a week or two. Do you remember how hard it was for you to get back into your job and get up to full steam again? Sometimes it takes several days. Sometimes it even takes as many days to get going again as you've been away on vacation. If it takes 10 units of energy to get into motion, it then only takes a couple of units of energy to stay in motion. But if you stop, it takes you another full 10 units of energy to get going again. And many people who stop never get going again. There's a quotation that says, "On the beaches of hesitation lie the bleached bones of those who at the moment of victory rested, and in resting lost all." It's like keeping plates spinning. As long as the circus performer keeps applying pressure to the stick that the plates are spinning on, the plates keep spinning indefinitely. But if the plates are allowed to slow down below a certain speed, they fall off the stick and the trick is over. You must keep in continuous motion yourself. You must always keep your plates spinning. You must be doing something every single day that is moving you toward your goals. You must be a moving target, difficult or even impossible to hit. And the faster you move, the more you get done. The faster you move, the more likely it is that you will do the right thing for the right person at the right time. But always, time is of the essence. The law of flexibility is vital to luck and success. It says that you must be clear about your goal, but you must always remain flexible about the way that you attain it. Flexibility is one of the most important of all luck factors. It's considered to be the most important psychological quality for success in a fast-changing world. You must be prepared to bend like the willow tree in front of the winds of change, rather than snapping like the pine tree when the situation around you alters in directions that you hadn't anticipated. Here's an important point. A guided missile, once it's programmed onto its target, will move unerringly toward the target, no matter where the target moves. A sophisticated missile, like a cruise missile or an Exocet missile, will continually adjust course and direction until it hits what it was aimed at. No evasive action on the part of the target will be sufficient to enable it to escape destruction. You are like a guided missile as well. You have the most incredible guidance mechanism imaginable. Once you are programmed onto a clear, specific, written, and measurable goal, your superconscious mind moves you unerringly over every obstacle and through every problem on the way to your goal. It gives you every lesson you need. And as long as you keep in motion, you will ultimately achieve it, sometimes in completely unexpected ways. But the most sophisticated guided missile in the world cannot adjust course or change direction until it is launched and in flight. You are the same. As long as you are in motion toward your goals and concentrating on high priorities, you will get continual input and feedback from your environment that will enable you to make course corrections that will ultimately bring you unerringly to your target. But you must keep moving, and moving fast. A recent study conducted by the American Management Association identified the one quality that seems to separate the very most successful people from the least successful. And the quality that they identified possessed by top people was the quality of initiative. The higher performers showed vastly greater levels of initiative than the average performers. Top people were much quicker to take responsibility and to take action when they saw something that needed to be done. They were much more proactive than reactive. They anticipated the importance of a particular behavior and moved quickly, usually without detailed discussion or analysis. Here's the interesting thing. When they interviewed the average managers and asked them if they felt that they had the quality of initiative, they all answered in the affirmative. They all felt that they showed a good deal of initiative in their work. So the researchers asked them to define what initiative meant for them. The average managers described answering the phone when it rang, calling up someone to remind them of a meeting or a commitment, or bringing a piece of news or information to someone else's attention, all as being examples of initiative. But when they compared the definitions of the high performers with the definitions of the low performers, they found that the high performers considered all of these to be merely part of the job. The high performers defined initiative as something well above and beyond the call of duty. It was taking risks, moving out of the comfort zone, working longer hours, and doing things that the average person would not bother to do. It's the same with you. The more initiative you show, the more you are perceived as a valuable player in the organization. When you continually seek out newer, faster, better, easier, more convenient ways to get the job done for your company and your customers, you very quickly come to the attention of the people who can help you. The head of Amoco Petroleum, a major oil company with a reputation for developing more reserves of oil and gas than any other company in the industry, was once asked why it is that his company was so much more successful at this than others. He explained that the answer was simple. The other companies all had similar land leases, similar geological studies, and similar drilling engineers and equipment. The reason Amoco was ahead of the other companies, he said, is because we drill more holes. It was no miracle. They put down more wells, and as a result, they discovered more oil. In our studies of unemployed people searching for new jobs, we found a remarkable fact. There are those who quickly get back into the workplace at good jobs with good salaries and good possibilities, and there are those who are unemployed for long periods of time. However, the people who quickly get back to work after they've lost a particular job look upon job hunting as a full-time activity. They get up and start at 7 or 8 in the morning, and they work hard and fast all day long. They're continually reading ads, making phone calls, sending resumes, and going to interviews. But for the majority of people who have been laid off, especially from jobs that they've had for a long time, the average number of possible jobs that they pursue is about 2 per week. Not long ago, a counselor for a group of unemployed executives noticed that at every weekly meeting, the unemployed executives spent the entire time complaining about their past companies and blaming their boss for letting them go. So he suggested that next week, everyone come to the meeting, and instead of talking about negative things, each person would share one interview experience that they had had in their search for a new job. A week later, only 2 of the 16 executives showed up for the meeting. When the counselor phoned around to find out why they hadn't come to the meeting, he found that none of them had had even so much as a single job interview in the last week. They had spent the entire time sitting at home, watching television, or hanging around the house. He recognized immediately that the reason why they were all so negative is that none of them were out in the marketplace actively talking to people and pursuing new career opportunities. The faster you move, the more energy you have. The faster you move, the more experience you get. The faster you move and the more experience you have, the better and smarter you become. The faster you move, the more bases you cover, the more people you see, and the more likely it is that you will strike oil. Here are 7 key ideas that you can use to increase your productivity, performance, and output immediately. These techniques are practiced by all the highest performing, highest paid people in every area of business and the professions today. The first key to high productivity is for you to work faster. Pick up the pace. Move more quickly. Develop a sense of urgency. Whatever you have to do, do it in real time. Take action on it immediately. Fast tempo is essential to success. Repeat over and over to yourself, "Do it now, do it now, do it now." You can actually double your output by simply resolving to walk faster, move faster, act faster, decide faster, and get on with it, whatever it is. All successful people are quick and efficient. All ineffective people delay and procrastinate. And the faster you do it, the more luck you will turn out to have. The second key to high productivity is for you to work longer and harder. As we said before, most people are lazy, and they don't work very hard even when they are at work. Sustained, concentrated, applied effort is the key to high performance and high productivity. Here is one of the paradoxes of working in an office. It is that you can't get any work done at work. When you go into an office environment, you are completely swamped by telephone interruptions, people interruptions, meetings, unexpected emergencies, and a dozen other things that zap your time and energy and leave you at the end of the day feeling that the more you have to get done, the less you seem to do. However, 1 hour of uninterrupted time will enable you to do the equivalent amount of work of 3 hours of normal office time where you're constantly interrupted. So start 1 hour earlier, work at lunchtime, and stay an hour later. This will add 3 hours of uninterrupted productive time to your day and enable you to produce the equivalent amount of work that another person would produce in 9 hours. In fact, if you start an hour earlier, work an hour later, and work through lunchtime, you will produce the equivalent of 2 people working at your current pace. Remember, office hours are not for successful people. Anyone who watches the clock has very little future in their current job or industry. Your attitude toward the clock should be that it merely keeps score and tells you how much more time you have before your next task or responsibility. You should never be looking at the clock to see how late you can start or how soon you can quit. If you get up a little earlier and get into the office 1 hour before anyone else, you'll immediately start to join the ranks of the top people in America. It's a truism in sales that if you want to talk to the top people, call before the receptionist or the secretary gets there. The top people are always in the office the earliest, sometimes by 6 or 7 a.m. Again, if you want to get past the gatekeeper, wait until the company closes and then call at 6 or 7 p.m. Very often, the person who answers will be the top person in the organization. The reason he or she is the top person is because he or she gets in early and stays late. By the way, there is no law that requires you to automatically get up at 12 noon and walk out the door with whoever is standing there and spend an hour eating lunch. Successful people simply don't do this. They make every minute count. If you take the hour between 12 and 1 p.m., close your door, put your head down, and concentrate on getting your top jobs out of the way, you'll be able to get the equivalent of 2 or 3 hours of interrupted time during the normal workday. The highest paid people in America, those in the top 10 or 20%, work an average of 59 hours per week. This means either 6 10-hour days or 5 12-hour days. In my 30 years of studying success, I've never found a person who has achieved anything worthwhile working 8 hours per day. Your success in a competitive society will be in direct proportion to the number of hours that you put in over 8 hours each day and over 40 hours each week. When you start working 50, 60, and 70 hours per week, and you use that time well by working always on your highest priority tasks, you will start to move ahead rapidly in whatever you're doing. The third key to high performance is to do more important things. Since you only have a certain number of hours in each day, make sure that every minute is spent doing the things that are more important and valuable to you and your company than anything else. Continually ask yourself, if I had to leave town for a month, and I could only do one more thing before I left, what one thing would that be? Whatever it is, discipline yourself to work on that and only that until it's finished. Single-minded concentration on one task, the most important task, will put you into the zone. It will put you onto a higher plane of performance. You will start getting more and more done in the same period of time. Your thinking will become crystal clear. You will activate your superconscious mind, and your life will sparkle with ideas and insights that you can use to get things done even faster. But you will only get into the zone when you work faster, work harder, and concentrate on high-value tasks. This seems to lift you to a higher altitude of performance. You've heard it said that if you want something done, always give it to a busy man or a busy woman. The reason for this is simple. A really busy person is working at a higher rate of output than a person who only does it when they get around to it. The really busy person is doing two or three times as much in the course of a day as a person who is working at a slower pace or lower level of activity. The fourth key to higher performance and productivity is for you to do things that you're better at. When you work on the things that you do the best, you not only enjoy them more because of your sense of mastery, but you also get them done faster. You make fewer mistakes. You make a more valuable contribution. One of the best time management techniques that you'll ever learn is for you to commit yourself to getting better at the most important things you do. This is a key luck factor. And the reason why is obvious. Since your major rewards and recognition come from your ability to do your most important tasks and to do them well, the better and better you get at those key tasks, the more rewards, recognition, and opportunity you will earn. And the more you will experience the luck that seems to be denied to those who are satisfied doing a job at a level that just allows them to get by. The fifth key to high productivity is for you to bunch your tasks. Do groups of similar tasks together. Return all your phone calls together. Do all your telephone prospecting together. Fill out all your expense accounts at the same time. Write all your letters and proposals at the same time. One of the most powerful time-saving techniques in any field is what is called the learning curve. Learning curve theory says that the more you do of a repetitive task, the faster and easier you perform each subsequent task. For example, if it takes you 10 minutes to do the first of a series of tasks, it will take you only 9 minutes for the second task, 8 minutes for the third task, 7 minutes for the fourth task, and so on. You can get down to 2 minutes per task, or a saving of 80% of the time it would normally take you if you did your tasks one at a time, separate from each other. Many people are oblivious to the learning curve. They therefore do one of this and one of that. They perform a task in one area and they perform a task in the other area. And they never get onto the learning curve and they never find themselves producing at high levels. The sixth key to high productivity is to do things together. Your ability to work well and function as part of a team is critical to your success. When you learn to cooperate and work effectively with others, with each person taking the part of the job that they're most suited to do well, you will be amazed at what you can accomplish. During World War II, the U.S. government made a commitment to building Liberty ships for carrying cargo across the North Atlantic at a faster rate than the ships could be sunk by the German U-boats. They created a series of industrial innovations that are still being used worldwide today. First, they reduced the time needed to build a ship from 2 years all the way down to 42 days. Then, in an incredible display of teamwork and cooperation, all the skilled workmen got together, made a plan, and built an entire ship ready for launching in 4 days. Of course, one of the reasons they were able to build literally hundreds of Liberty ships, one after the other, was because they used the learning curve. They bunched all their tasks together so they could do them more efficiently, and they worked as a smooth, well-oiled, well-functioning team throughout. You should look for opportunities to apply the same principles to your work as well. The seventh key to increasing your productivity, which is the basis of re-engineering today, is for you to simplify and streamline your work. Use the time management technique of process analysis. This entails you're making a list of every step in a particular process from the time you begin to the time you finish. Then, you go through the list of steps and look at what steps you could simplify so that you could do them faster. Identify steps that you could consolidate with other steps or jobs, or that you can consolidate in a single person. Finally, look for parts of the task that you could eliminate altogether to reduce the time that it takes to complete the entire job. There's a powerful productivity improvement technique called time compression by responsibility expansion. Let me explain how this works. In one study of the processing of life insurance policies, the researchers discovered that it was taking 6 weeks from the time a policy was submitted from the field to the time it was either approved or disapproved at head office. The researchers took a policy and followed it through the various steps involved in getting it approved. They found that it went through 24 steps in 6 weeks, but the actual amount of time spent working on the policy itself was only 17 minutes. So, they re-engineered. They changed the way the policy was dealt with. Instead of having 24 people look at the policy, they reduced the number of people to 2. The first person would check out every single detail of the policy from beginning to end. The policy would then be sent to a second, more senior person who would double-check the work of the first person. Using this technique, time compression by responsibility expansion, they were able to reduce the processing time of a policy from 6 weeks down to 24 hours. And their underwriting business increased over the next year by millions and millions of dollars. Today, time is the most valuable element in business and personal life. Everyone thinks in terms of time and reducing the amount of time it takes to get a task done. People who can do things quickly because they are using the most effective of time management techniques are always the most valued and the most rapidly promoted people in any organization. They are the ones who get all the lucky breaks. In order for you to be at the top of your form, to be action-oriented, fast-moving, and extremely productive, you have to have lots and lots of energy and enthusiasm. Energy is a key luck factor. For you to be alert to the possibilities around you and to have the continual enthusiasm that keeps you and others motivated and moving forward, you have to design your life so that you feel terrific about yourself most of the time. Today, we know more about the things you can do or refrain from doing to enjoy higher levels of energy than we have ever known before. I'm going to give you the key factors that determine your energy levels, and I encourage you to incorporate them into your daily life and your daily habits. The first key to high energy is a proper diet. This means that you must eat the right foods, in the right balance, and in the right combinations. Your diet can have an inordinate impact on the amount of energy you have, on how well you sleep, your levels of health and fitness, and your performance throughout the day, and often into the evening, in any competitive enterprise. Olympic athletes have been studied extensively to find out what it is that they eat, even though they may come from more than 100 countries. Olympic diets have been found to have 3 things in common, and they are very easy for you to learn and implement into your own life. First, Olympic athletes eat lots of fruit, vegetables, and whole grain foods. They eat lots of pastas and rice, which are complex carbohydrates that turn rapidly into glucose and serve as a fuel for the high-performance body and mind. The diet specialists who coach people for fitness and high energy say that because your body is 70% water, you should eat 70% water-based foods, like fruits and vegetables. In addition, whole grain products like whole grain bread, macrobiotic rice, bran muffins, shredded wheat, bran flakes, and so on, give you the necessary roughage to keep your system functioning smoothly. The second part of the high-performance Olympic diet is lean source protein. This is protein like fish, chicken with no skin, lean beef, and so on. These are lower in fat than most other foods. In fact, fat has been found to correlate with an enormous number of physical ailments and health problems. It is possible today for you to eat a diet that is low fat and for you to immediately start losing excess pounds and gaining energy. When you combine a low-fat diet with far more fruits and vegetables and whole grain products, you'll find yourself trimming down quickly and feeling far better about yourself. The third part of a high-performance diet is drinking lots of water. Most people just sip water when they drink, but you need to be drinking 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day to combat the normal water loss that occurs as a result of your daily activities. You see more and more people today carrying water bottles around with them. They sip at those bottles continually. They are constantly flushing out their system with lots and lots of water. The water will continually flush out salts, toxins, waste products, and other residues that can build up in your system and slow you down. You are completely responsible for what you put into your body. More than 50 million Americans are overweight today, and many of them are grossly overweight. Being overweight is one of the fastest ways to reduce your energy levels, lower your credibility in the minds of a health-conscious customer, and shorten your life. One of your goals should be to achieve high levels of physical fitness. You can begin getting your weight and physical appearance under control today by simply changing your diet away from fatty, sugary, salty foods toward healthy, nutritious, energy, and vitamin-enriched foods. The choice is up to you. The second key ingredient to high energy is proper exercise. The very best activity is aerobic exercise. This type of exercise brings your heart and respiratory rate up to what is called the training zone, about 140 beats per minute, more or less depending upon your age, and keeps it there for 20 to 30 minutes, 3 times per week. You can get all the exercise you need, for example, by walking 2 or 3 miles, 3 to 5 times per week. You can get your exercise from swimming, from cycling, from exercise equipment at gyms or at home, and from jogging. Your body is meant to be fully used every day. Every joint should be fully articulated. You should stretch your arms, back, and legs completely. You should use light weights and keep your muscles strong and supple. But most of all, you should be getting aerobic exercise on a regular basis if you want to feel and look terrific. The third key to high energy is proper rest. You need 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night on average, and you need to take off at least one full day per week where you don't work at all. You will find that you are most alert and creative in the 2 or 3 days following a vacation of any kind, even a 2 or 3 day weekend vacation. One of the ways to increase your alertness, energy, and productivity is for you to take regular mini holidays of 2 or 3 days each, and regular annual holidays where you simply let go completely and get your mind totally off your work. In the day or two after you come back, you will have more ideas and produce more good results than you ever would if you continue to work nonstop until you're exhausted and burned out. The fourth key to excellent health and high energy is no smoking. Smoking has been correlated with 32 different diseases and ailments. There's no single action that you can take that is worse for your health than voluntarily smoking on a regular basis. You can eliminate smoking from your life by setting it as a goal, and then by affirming that you are a non-smoker, visualizing yourself as a non-smoker, and disciplining yourself to refuse to accept or take cigarettes on a regular basis. In reality, you can do anything you want to do if you really put your mind to it. The fifth key to high energy is for you to add regular vitamin and mineral supplements to your diet. No matter what anyone says, today's diet is deficient in key vitamins and minerals, and the healthiest people you will ever meet are those who balance their nutritional deficiencies with very high-quality vitamins and minerals on a regular basis. The very best vitamins and minerals are those from natural sources. Natural source vitamins are usually bound with chelates. They cost more, but more of the vitamins and minerals contained in them are absorbed by your body and made available to you for higher levels of health and vitality. The sixth key to high energy has to do with your mental health. It's the elimination of negative emotions, especially your expression of negatives of any kind. The more you think about or talk about the things that make you angry or unhappy, the angrier and more unhappy you become. Your negative emotions actually depress your mind and body. They tire you out and fatigue you. One unrestrained outburst of anger can consume as much energy as 8 hours of regular work. The way that you overcome your tendency to condemn and complain, which just about everyone does, is by canceling out negative emotions using the law of substitution. Whenever you feel angry or upset for any reason, you immediately say, "Wait, I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible." You see, it's impossible for you to accept responsibility for every part of your life and to be angry at the same time. Virtually all negativity comes from anger, resentment, and blaming other people. The instant that you stop blaming others and start accepting responsibility, you feel a tremendous sense of control. You feel a surge of positive energy. You feel that you are back on top of your life and your situation. The more you practice the health habits we've talked about and keep your conversation focused on your goals and on the things you want, the more energy and vitality you will have, the more alert and aware you will be, the more positive you will feel, and the more action-oriented you will become. It will be as though you have put your entire life into overdrive and you will feel yourself racing forward at a rate greater than anything you've ever imagined before. You will get more done, earn more rewards, more recognition, and more esteem, have more doors open for you, and you will experience more of the things that everybody refers to as luck.